Welcome back to the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this morning. 251-343-0106. Text me. That's how you get in touch with the program. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure. We get him on from time to time, but he's been very kind in this program. Congressman Robert Aderholt is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, great to be with you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, a new Congress, new administration, obviously, but from your perspective, I just want to get you all to kind of talk about it because you have been in the majority, but now you've got a Senate and a White House, and I imagine it's much, much different now.
Much different, yes, exactly. I mean, you know, when you have control of only one house and you've got the Senate and the White House in Democrat hands, it is so hard to do anything. And I know a lot of people get frustrated, why didn't Republicans do more? But honestly, it is so difficult because you've got anything that we pass is dead on arrival when it would hit over the Senate with Schumer. And that's just not the case now. That's why you're seeing a lot of things happening, especially now with the White House, with Trump making some great moves with these executive orders. And so I'm very encouraged. I think American people are encouraged. I know Alabamians are encouraged, and just glad to see some common sense coming into to Washington, D.C. for a change.
Well, and obviously the lion's share of the attention has been on Trump and the administration, and to some degree the Senate with, how they have to go through the confirmation process. But I mean, the House has had its drama. How are things in the lower chamber?
Well, the thing that happens with in the House, we have such a close majority. We've got right now with appointments that Trump's gotten a few people that he's asked to be in the administration, we're down to about a one vote majority right now. And so we have very little room for failure. And it is very difficult to get, our entire conference, which we're about at 219 now, I think is the number, 218, 219. Getting everybody on board and not losing one single person, because as you have a lot of strong personalities in the House, Democrat and Republicans, as you do in Washington as a whole, in the House, the Senate, wherever. But obviously, we have got to work with President Trump. But I think people understand that the importance that we have a limited time to act, and that we've got to pull together. And so sometimes people just have a different version of how it best should unfold. And that's why we've got to look to Trump to actually be sort of the take the lead in this, because obviously, you have 535 members of Congress, but you only have one president. And so therefore, he has got to give us the leadership, and we've got to defer to his leadership at this point, because we may not have this opportunity in the next election. Things could change in the House or the Senate. So, like I said, we're on very limited time.
Well, let's talk about the Trump administration. Lots happened. First, let me ask you this. I guess it sort of exceeded my expectations. I don't know what really to have expected based on, what had happened when he came in 2017. It was almost as if the Democrats, the so-called deep state or whatever, had a game plan to kind of slow things down. They were ready this time. I mean, this is a totally different look than probably what we saw in 2017.
Well, and two, Trump, had never been he'd never held office before. And I think a lot of the people that he had around him had not been involved in government before. He learned a lot in the 4 years he was in office, and now he can hit the ground running. And now knowing what the issues are, and also just having that House and the Senate together, makes all the difference. And there's I don't remember what the numbers were in the Senate back when he was first elected, but the Senate's more of a comfortable majority than we are. So It's really just the dynamics are so different from it was when during Trump's first term.
Well, now, I believe it's Democrat Senator from New Jersey, Senator Kemp. The idea that they would, the Democrats would go the shutdown route. They're obviously not happy with anything really the president is doing. I didn't expect that. But they're starting to talk about using that. I mean, I guess their options are limited. Your own appropriations, you look at, you hear stuff like that. What do you think?
Well, it is, you know, and of course, you're referring to the March 14th deadline is when the current appropriations bill runs out, and we have to have something in place. And obviously, we as Republicans can stick together and get something in place. But obviously, if we have one or two people that defects, then we're in real trouble. And as you've pointed out, there's talk among the Democrats about not helping and just letting the government shut down. And that's where the, you know, anytime you have the government shut down, that's a concern. But I think it's all the more reason that we as Republicans have to stick together, and if we're going to avoid a shutdown. But I am very happy to see, you know, the cuts that the president, and that, these cuts in a lot of these programs is what is frustrating a lot of the Democrats, and they really don't know what to do. And the reason that they're frustrated is the fact that there's cuts in a lot of these programs, but obviously they're common sense cuts that the president's doing. He just wants to get the waste, fraud, and abuse, and there's a lot of it. And just you know, like at USAID, you know, there have been attempts to try to cut in the past, but that was under the Biden administration when there's been attempts to cut. And as you know, the problem with cutting when you had Biden in the White House and cutting these agencies, they would cut out the good parts and they would add money to the areas where that was bad. So now we have someone in the White House, you know, namely we have Donald Trump there, that we can make these cuts and not be afraid that there's going to be a lot of woke stuff that's going to take place. So I have always supported getting rid of and getting rid of the woke stuff. But unfortunately, you had Biden, that his appointees were the ones that head in the administration and head in USAID and these other groups. And so they were not going to cut the good. They were only going to cut the good parts, like the help to Israel. And, you know, there's a lot of help that a lot of these countries that are where they need some help, like in African countries where our help can mean the matter of life and death for a lot of children. And one thing that USAID has done, and like I said, there's a lot of bad stuff that goes in USAID. But one thing that we do is we ship a lot of farmers, products from farmers, American farmers, to these places. And that's the way we help people. And it helps our farmers and helps you know, starving children around the world. So there's some good things at USAID. They just had a lot of bad stuff, and thank goodness Trump is trying to get the bad stuff out so we can keep the good stuff in.
Well, and I guess there was something made about last Congress. There was Elijah Crane trying to get an amendment to strip out USAID, and that was sort of the rub, right? I assume. I don't remember this, but
well, it was to make a major cut in USAID. The problem was with that is there was not program specific, so therefore you were leaving it with the Biden administration, and I support the cut. The problem was without having to find what you're going to cut. My concern with the Biden administration, they'd cut the good things out and add money to the bad things. And so that's why you've got to have an administrator in there, that President Trump and somebody in the White House that's going to say, you know, we're going to cut the bad things, and we're going to keep, you know, because a lot of this aid that we go is for Israel, a lot of things that we're to help stability in the Middle East. And there's some good things that go for the right purposes. But when you just make cuts and you let the Biden administration decide where those cuts are, you know, I can tell you that that's not a good recipe. And so that's why several of us had concerns about just giving the Biden administration the ability to make cuts, because they would cut the things that we want to cut. They would want to cut the things that we support and not the things that we want to cut. So it's a new day now, and I think you will see all the Republicans lining up behind supporting cuts in USAID, because now we know we're going to be cutting the bad programs out.
Well, do you get the sense that the good is being kept and the bad is what is being cut? I mean, it doesn't. I don't know. You know, you shut down the agency, lock the doors, or whatever. Has there been an effort to preserve the positives from your point of view?
Well, and you know, quite honestly, I think this is what the Trump administration is doing right now, is just maybe putting everything on hold until they can find out what all has happened over the last several years in the Biden administration. So, you know, I think what the plan is, and I've of course certainly not talked to the president about it, but I think a long term is to put a halt on everything until they can figure out what needs to be restarted, instead of just keeping everything running as normal. Is just put a halt to everything and saying, let's figure out what were the good and the bad, and then we'll start up the good, and we won't start up the bad again.
Carson, wind it down on this, and a lot's been made in this state about some of the NIH cuts, but I mean, there's obviously some kind of concerted effort to highlight how Alabama's going to lose here, but I look at it, I don't know that it really, they lay a glove on anybody in Alabama, because Trump's so popular, he won 65-35, but even if you take them at their word, trying to show that there was this is going to impact Alabama with the NIH stuff, I mean, do you have any sense of really what specifically?
I think it's too early to tell. I think a lot of people are just hearing about cuts and they just assume the worst. But a lot of this is just perceived impact that will be negative. I don't necessarily know that there will be any actual cuts that will be harmful to the state. I think that a lot of people are just getting alarmed, especially some of the universities are alarmed. My advice, let's just hold tight. Let's wait and see where these cuts are, because there are a lot of fraud and abuse that need to be cut. And so the cuts are not necessarily a bad thing. And we will figure out, and a lot of times, when you make these cuts, a lot of these cuts will go to some of these more liberal and woke universities and be more helpful to universities like University of Alabama, Auburn, and other universities across the state that are doing some really good stuff. So I would caution my Alabama friends and Auburn friends and other university friends to hold tight. Let's just see what happens, because this could, in the end, help Alabama, because we could maybe get more money for Alabama, and because especially when we're doing good research and research that's not this woke agenda.
Yeah, and so much of that is specifically earmarked for woke things, and I guess people in the state, even at the state level, can't do much about. So it does. That does seem to be a thing when it comes to these universities, that they're enabled by some of this funding to spend it on the wrong things, right? I mean, there's so much bloat in federal government that this is maybe it is going to turn the tide in the other direction.
Yeah. So I would tell everybody, you know, that has any concerns, and like I said, I think most Alabamans are excited. So I don't, but obviously there's a few that's involved with research. I would say just hold tight. And let the president move forward on this, and let's make sure that we keep what is good, but we throw out what's bad. And I'm very excited what the president's doing in so many of these programs, including USAID.
Well, Congressman, I'll let you get back to it, but you've always been very kind to this program, and thanks for making time for us today.
Well, it's always good to be with you, Jeff, and look forward to being with you on again. Thanks so much.
All right, Congressman Robert Aderholt there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. God knows how, and I'm stuck here having a record year.